Prospect Flyover here. It is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. Here, apparently the Flyers are playing right now. Do you know that? I didn't know that. Taking on the Canadiens. Yeah, Dylan's back. Hi, Dylan. How you doing?
Good. Been pretty busy. How are you?
Doing good. Rejuvenated here about all these Flyers. In case anybody hasn't been paying attention, the storyline over the last few weeks is Sam Ersson, the golden boy, the one everyone was begging to be the starter just a few months ago. Everyone has given up on him, thrown him to the Wolves, and they want something else. Well, they're getting something else. Alexei Kolosov, in the process of coming over, I guess dealing with some visa issues, should be over soon. And then today, out of the friggin' blue, Ivan Fedotov. Yes, that guy. 7th-round pick, 2015, the guy that was abducted 2 years ago by the Russian military, did not come over, was supposed to come over this season, and then was, held against his will in CSKA Moscow there. Contract terminated today with the idea that he is coming over. So all of a sudden, you go from a precarious situation bubbling up in the Flyers' crease where nobody's looking great. Now you got two reinforcements, obviously TBD on their arrival, what it means this season, whether or not they can actually play in the NHL this year. All that stuff will be figured out over the upcoming couple days and weeks here. But overall, very interesting development here for the Flyers.
So with Kolosov, that's still kind of a visa situation and it's just about kind of trying to get him over here. And obviously the Flyers are trying not to rush it. As for Fedotov, it's kind of a different situation. I mean, Flyers have been kind of working with Russia or whoever, I guess the KHL or CSKA for over the past couple of weeks, apparently, and talking about this situation and trying to get Fedotov over here. So, I mean, it's definitely been in the works for a while, and I think it's probably why the Flyers didn't push to try and get a goalie at the deadline. I know I was a person that was kind of critical of that and wanted the Flyers to pursue a netminder at the deadline instead of throwing Ersson to the Wolves and kind of relying on a rookie goaltender. But, I mean, obviously, the Flyers had a plan, so it looks like it will hopefully pan out. Obviously, you never know with the Russia situations, but yeah, it definitely seems like Fedotov is en route to Philly, at least as of right now. It's kind of been going on for the past couple of weeks, trying to figure everything out. People have been asking me, why did his team kind of just terminate his contract out of the blue? Apparently Fedotov had the ability to opt out in his contract after the first year, and he obviously chose to do so, making him eligible to come to Philly if he so chooses, and that seems like it is the route they are all going towards. Kolosov's kind of just a waiting game. Danny Briere and the Flyers know that, and they don't want to force anything and cause another Fedotov situation. So, I mean, just kind of playing it safe, seeing how it goes week by week. I know Danny Briere said this morning he expected Kolosov to already be over here. It's kind of taking longer than they expected, and he doesn't really have a timetable for it exactly, but next couple weeks for sure. So hopefully the goalie situation kind of reconfigures itself, I guess.
Kolosov played 47 games for Dynamo Minsk this year. 907 save percentage, 239 goals against. And Fedotov played 44 games for CSKA Moscow. As this gigantic ad popped up right in front of his numbers. Appreciate that. 237 goals against average, 914 save percentage. So, two guys coming over, no North American experience between them, which is still a very interesting problem. That was the whole kind of thing with Kolosov here is as nice as a prospect as he may be, as highly favored as he is, you know, especially when you're trying to clinch a playoff spot with a few games left and some pretty heavy implications in these last few games here, the idea that, you know, they were just going to kind of throw him in there is preposterous. But, you know, assumingly, Ersson's probably the guy for a vast majority of the starts, but, you know, Kolesov probably ends up in the AHL, and Fedotov gives them a little bit of opportunity to do that. Fedotov is 27 right now, Kolesov is 22, so the theory now is you have Ersson and Fedotov going into the immediate future, with Kolesov then able to blossom in the AHL, learning with his tandem partner Cal Peterson for another year. What a fucking mentor that's going to be. But, yeah, overall, a very interesting situation. They do, Fedotov is a UFA at the end of the season. His ELC slid back this year, and then obviously he couldn't come over anyway, so it doesn't matter. But he is a UFA at 27 years old. So I assume he's probably going to resign, you know, some kind of contract there in the future. Kolesov's ELC starts, assumingly whenever he plays his first game, whether that be this season or not, or starts next year. But one way or the other here, all of a sudden, looking pretty good in net for the Flyers.
I was going to note something off of what you just said. Now I'm drawing a blank. Oh, yes. Yeah, so, I mean, originally, I know I kind of stated this as well, but the thought was that Kolesov would go to the AHL and just be there for the rest of the year. But
as
I mean,
Danny,
yeah, and I mean, but Danny Beer also hasn't ruled it out as a possibility. I guess if maybe Fedotov just tanks himself and turns into a Cal Peterson kind of situation, then Kolesov can kind of switch in and out there. But I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but for that to happen, Kolesov would have to come out just swinging and impress like everyone, and be like lights out in the AHL almost immediately for that to even like be a possibility at all. And I'm not saying he can't, but I think I would just prefer him being in the AHL for both development and just the Phantoms in general, because they kind of need it a little bit. So that's that. But then, yeah, with the Fedotov situation, I mean, late round picks like that typically don't pan out as regular NHLers. Like, I mean, goalies are definitely different. You can kind of gauge that based off of also being Russian. That probably didn't help his draft stock. He probably plummeted to the bottom there because of where he is from. And obviously the Flyers got the butt end of that, dealing with him for like the past 4 years or something like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of big question marks still kind of sticking around. But, I mean, as soon as they touch American soil, and, I mean, once they get new games, we'll see what happens. But at 6'8", I mean, I would hope you're able to stop a puck. So
you're taking up a vast majority of the square footage of that net just standing there before he's even before he's even playing. But yeah, I guess that's the thing is, you know, they can post all the numbers they want in the KHL and do whatever they want, look as great as they want, but it's about transitioning. And that was, you know, especially with Kolesov being 22, you know, throwing him into the deep end immediately in the NHL, not a great idea. You know, letting, I mean, in a perfect world, they probably both should theoretically get AHL time, but I think one of them's going to do, it's probably going to be Kolesov. I would assume Fedotov, once he signs a real contract, is going to need to go through waivers to go down next year, if that were to be the case. So, you know, they got to deal with it as the punches come here. But, yeah, it'll be a very interesting development. Who's the better of the two? Maybe they're both guys. Maybe in a year or two time, you got Fedotov and Kolesov being your starters. So, you're 1-2 punch in the NHL. But, yeah, you started the season with three goaltenders on your main roster. Carter Hart, Sam Ersson, and Felix Sandstrom. Now you're ending the season with three goaltenders on your roster, which is Sam Ersson, Ivan Fedotov, and Alexei Kolesov. Definitely not what you would have predicted going into the year. But, you know, after a little bit of turbulence there, it seems like all is well in the Flyers' crease.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say all is well, but it's definitely better than what
Looking
it
up than it
was
was
a
when it was
couple months
goddamn
ago.
Cal Peterson is your best second best option. Yeah.
Yeah, that got ugly pretty quick. And I mean, this kind of saves things a little bit and hopefully makes things interesting for a playoff push. It kind of gives me more confidence on the back end, especially going into playoffs. I know usually one goalie typically just runs the crease in the playoffs, but then again, he's also a rookie. So, I mean, if you could stagger his starts and kind of pick and choose when your backup played and
Especially
kind of
down
have
the
that.
stretch here against some of these lesser
Yeah.
teams. I saw somebody today that Ersson's going to start 8 of the last 9 games because they've got one more back to back. And I'm like, you're going to run him into the ground and then take him into the postseason? Like, I realize he's your best option right now. Who knows when Fedotov and Kolov's actually physically arrive in Philadelphia to play it? Maybe another week or two for all we know, at least. So it's just like, I know they don't have a lot of options here, but man, that is an unappealing one to go out and say, hey, Ersin, we're going to give you all these starts here, and hopefully they're against lower teams. Builds a bit of confidence, picks up some wins, locks in a playoff spot, and deal with this later. But yeah, the quicker these other options arrive, the better at this point.
Yeah, that would be kind of the best way to go about it. I'm kind of interested to see what they do with Fedotov next season, based off of his play going out of this season. Like, if he gets a couple starts and then maybe plays a few playoff games, and if he looks good, I wonder what his next contract kind of looks like if they just pin him on league minimum, because they haven't really seen much of him. And maybe it's kind of a two-way sort of situation. I'm not sure if Fedotov would even agree to that, or if he comes out and wants 6 mil right off the bat. I'm not really sure. It would definitely be an interesting situation with Sandstrom's in UFA,
He's a
correct?
UFA at the end of this season, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you can let him walk and then re-sign Fedotov and then
Does give
lose
them clearance
all.
to finally get rid of Cal Peterson. They could buy out that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true too.
Find some random dude to play back up in the AHL for, $5 million less dollars than you're paying
Yeah.
Cal Peterson. So
And then, but you're, because I've heard rumors that they want to buy out Atkinson and Johansson. So, I
Oh, we just
mean,
did a full episode on this unfreaking flyer that came out yesterday or today. That's about $10 million in dead cap if they buy out Atkinson, Peterson, and Johansson,
Johansson.
plus having D'Angelo and Hayes still on the books as well for next year.
And
About $10 million in dead cap.
that's the max you can have, correct? The five or whatever.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And have three
So.
retained slots, which they would have one being Hayes. I think you can buy out as many people as you want, though. But it's not advised, I think, is the main thing.
I was doing digging on Cap Friendly, and because we've been talking about it so much with the so many guys re-signed for next year, and we have four UFAs and three RFAs going into next season. Like, that's a short list, and one of them's a rookie. So, I mean, and you can dump Mark Stahl to Russia, for heaven's sakes. And I saw people wanting to bring back Brink, Zamula, Ginning. And I mean,
At this point, they may as well.
Bobby Brink's fine. I don't see why you bring back Zamula. It depends on what they do on the back end. I guess he can be your seventh guy again in replacing Mark Stahl, but I mean, he's also young, so I'm not sure why he'd want to play 20 games in a season.
Mean,
So,
theoretically, if everyone's healthy, you got
yeah.
Sanheim, York. Adder's on a one-way contract, so he should be in the NHL. Ristolainen's
Yeah.
here, Drysdale, Seeler. So there's your six, with
Yeah.
Zamula being an RFA at the end of the year with Arbrights. So,
Yeah.
I would assume Zamula would take precedence over Adder, even though they are different. Zamula's a lefty, Adder's a righty, But that has never really stopped Torts from playing these guys wherever the hell he wants. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that there's your seven, one way or the other. With whether it's Zamul or they, you know, finally give Adder or Andre rather an opportunity to be that guy. You know, I assume they're not doing anything overly crazy on that defense.
And I mean, you got Ginning also in the mix there, but I don't know if he's still planning on leaving at the end of the season.
It is interesting that they called him up. I wonder if they did that as a favor to be like, hey, stay around here, my guy. Don't go back to Sweden. So they can re-sign him and then keep him in the AHL for another 2 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, well, realistically, would he be here if everyone was healthy? No. So is there really any reason for him to stick around? Like, I just don't see him wanting to. Like, yeah, I got 12 games in the NHL, but would I have been there?
If half the defense wasn't hurt, would I have been here otherwise?
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just kind of like, well, why would you bring back Brink, Zamula, and Jing? Brink's the only one that's at least possibly guaranteed NHL time. Like, and I guarantee it is a soft word with Tortorella behind the bench. But so, like, I just don't see the purpose of bringing literally anyone back besides Brink and maybe Yorganov, but you give him minimum and put him in the AHL, because I think there's still something there.
He has produced well in the AHL over the last few years, as Gerionov. And, I mean, they may as well. The Phantoms need all the freaking help they can get these days, especially with Lazinski and Marody leaving. That's going to suck, because those are their two big key offensive producers there. So, yeah, I mean, if they give Gerionov an opportunity, I can't imagine he's an NHL regular next season.
No.
But...
Well, we wouldn't know, because he's played four games. So.
Yeah. One of the, so the Flyers have already burned through their four recalls, which is where the whole Kolosov-Fedotov playing in the NHL gets hairy in the first place. Putting the pieces together from various beats on Twitter today, it appears as though, because Carter Hart got in trouble and is no longer on the roster, that there could be a special exception to the rule here when it comes to the Flyers having that extra goaltending ability to move and whatnot. So, we'll see what ultimately happens here. It sounds like they don't know yet for sure what's going on, which is probably fair, because this is not exactly your typical situation among stuff like this. But I'd assume that they may get some kind of, granted some kind of specialty for Fedotov to play in the NHL if he makes it here before the end of the year.
Yeah. One thing to note before that is the NHL suspended Fedotov's ELC because of the Russian and the IIHF and all that stuff. And so the NHL would have to lift that in order for him to play in the first place. But on the other side, I got into arguments with people like all this week about how the Flyers didn't use all four of their post-deadline recalls, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, why would I just make that shit up? Like,
I didn't know they did either until I saw that today, and I was like, what? And I thought about it. I go, well, yeah, they actually did.
Well, on March 8th, they called up Adderd and Brink, and then March 18th, Ginning and Lexell. And people were like, recalls only count after March 8th or whatever. And I was like, okay, then why did Danny Briere just say he doesn't know what he's going to do today? Like, I'm pretty sure he would know. But yeah, anyways, so Danny Briere, he also needs to figure out, but from what I've heard, because technically Felix Sandstrom was an emergency recall because of the Hart situation, and he's already been switched out with Pettersson before without using a recall because of the emergency implications. So following that basis, I believe the Flyers are able to say Fedotov's an emergency
theoretically
recall,
that seems to be the plan,
just swap them out, kind of sort of thing. So I mean, theoretically they should be able to do that,
which would help the Phantoms tremendously if they can get Felix Sandstrom back for their own playoff push.
Yeah. So I mean,
Cal Peterson fucking sucks.
Yeah. So although I don't know how that would work either, because Fedotov is technically not a recall. He's like, I wonder if he'd have to be a phantom first. I'm not sure how that would go about now that I think about it. Because he's technically coming over. I don't know how that transaction works. If he can
He's
just go,
on
can he just go?
non-roster according to Cap
Yeah.
Friendly. So I
Can he
don't
just go,
I think it would
immediately
need to
up?
be recalled to the NHL in order to get there.
Can a recall be counted as him coming over from Russia? That I don't. That's more of a loan. Well, was he loaned from Philly? Well, no, he's never loaned.
I think he was ever
Because,
loaned, I think he was stolen. But
yeah, Russia kind of just.
I think it's
Yeah,
quite the
he's
same
never really
thing.
loaned. I don't know how that works. Now that I think about it.
I mean, so he is technically, according to Cap Friendly, he's on non-roster, but he is loaned, which I guess is the technical term, which is what they had to do, given the situation. But yeah,
Okay, so maybe he's
which is
fine.
probably
I
why
don't
this is all kinds of shades of gray anyway, and the NHL doesn't even know what they're doing because there's some
know.
complicated stuff here.
Yeah, maybe they just are like, yeah, this is a first. All right, here, have him back. So,
Yeah.
I don't know.
And of course, people then in turn link this to Matvei Michkov and what's going on there. And, there was somebody on Twitter today said, "But damn, the angry Facebook people told me no one leaves the KHL, and that Michkov was stuck there forever, just like Fedotov." And
I
I'm
saw
like,
that. Yeah.
I realize Fedotov coming over is a big win. Does anybody realize it's been 2 years now that he's been stuck over there? At the end of the day, it's still Russia. It's still the KHL. The rules of life don't necessarily apply over there at the moment. So it is good that they're letting this guy go and mending some bridges and whatnot. But, we're still 2 years away from Michkov anyway. Who knows what the world looks like at that point? But yeah, I don't necessarily think this has a ton of bearing on Michkov, just as I don't necessarily think Fedotov being trapped over there had a ton of bearing on Michkov in the first place. They could detain him. They could not. Who knows? It's a completely separate problem that we'll deal with down the road.
Yeah, I mean, following the basis of what Fedotov went through and the army stuff and not doing his military time and everything else, as far as I know, Michkov's in the eyes of Russia is eligible to come over to America because he served his military time, and I'm pretty sure he served it when he was like 16 or something crazy. But Charlie O'Connor said, kind of on the basis of just the whole situation, it kind of increases the front office's ability to navigate through Michkov and kind of build almost a relationship with Russia and kind of just form something there in order to allow Michkov and Zavrigan, and I believe is how you pronounce it. I don't know
No
what his
idea.
name
Still
is.
don't know. Yeah.
Zavrigan, I don't, but either way, they're kind of building a staggered relationship there. Philadelphia is fully prepared to just wait out his contract before they try to bring him over or pull any antics, which is probably the best way to go about it, instead of asking SKA to terminate his contract or waiting for them
Don't want
to,
to poke
which
the
is
bee's nest on that one if you don't have to, probably.
that's extremely unlikely, especially for SKA. Their head coach and everyone over there is kind of buddy buddy with Putin, and they're not afraid to do things. So, I mean, it's very unlikely they terminate his contract and do him a solid and say, you're free to leave. So it's still a waiting game for him. And I mean, hopefully it becomes easier based off of what we've seen the past couple of days and with Kolesov and Fedotov hopefully coming over. I'm still anxious and not gonna guarantee anything until they've actually stepped foot on American soil, because there's very, very likely possibility something happens. They literally have to go out of Russia to then fly out of that area to Philadelphia. They have to go to like where is it? They go to like some random place like Istanbul, and like they have to get over there and then fly out of there, so they can't fly out of Russia. So like it's definitely a process. And the Flyers are helping Kolesov get a visa so he can come over. So I mean, there's still so many layers to this. So many things can happen. So just kind of still hope and pray a little bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to just wait. It's 2 years anyway. I have plenty of time to stew on this one for a little while, but yeah, hopefully they get a peaceful transition when the time comes, and Mishkov shows up with no problems in 2026, and you know, does whatever he does when he shows up here.
I was thinking about this today too. Like, I really hope fans don't hold him to extremely high standards like they have been, like based off of his how excited people were and comparing him to Bedard and stuff. Yeah, that's great and all, but I just hope the Flyers don't dunk on him, or not Flyers, but like the Flyers fans and everyone else just immediately dunk on the kid if he doesn't come out like Alex Ovechkin
I
and
mean, you know they're
score eight
going
goals.
to,
Yeah, like it's just
right?
it's what happens, but like I don't want to see him come over here and just get brutalized if he has a little bit of a staggered start and like kind of transitions into the game a bit. Because like you can argue the KHL has the same ice surface and like all this other stuff. It's still a different game.
A different league, different
And
speed, different
it's a
pacing, different
different
talent level.
country.
Yeah.
He doesn't know, like he barely speaks English.
Just
Like
because the
he has a
square footage of
trans
the ice is the same does not mean much in this situation.
Yeah, like he's a kid. He'll be 21 in 2026.
21,
Like
22, yeah, something like that.
that's still a kid, and especially to not have NHL playing time. Yeah, he's played in the World Juniors, but he played when he was 17, 16 years old. So I mean, like I just hope fans don't boot him out of the stadium in 3 weeks when he struggles a little bit, especially on the if the Flyers have this weird staggered rebuild like we were talking about last episode. His line pairings aren't going to be pretty, so I mean he's going to have to carry them heavily for at least the first 2 years of his NHL career. So I mean I'm not expecting 80 points out of him like right out of the gate. So and I mean, how many points does Bedard have this year? I really haven't focused
50
anything on him.
something. Connor Bedard. He's got 56 points in 58 games.
Yeah, so I mean, that's more something I could see, like Mitchkov's pace. But again, he has 2 more years in the KHL. He has time to develop even more. So I don't know. There's a lot of layers to it, as anything is in Russia. So I mean, he very well could come out and get 80 points in a season, but in his rookie year, nonetheless. But it just, I don't know.
You never know how the
Packing
fan
him.
base is going to handle this one. You could have the Morgan
Yeah.
Frost situation where you wait 5 years for him to score 40 points and champion like it's a goddamn Wayne Gretzky. Or you have Sam
Yeah.
Ersin, who they gave him 6 weeks and gave up on after,
Yeah.
championing him in December. I should pull people's tweets from fucking December when he's the guy. Screw Carter Hart. We don't need him. We have Sam Ersin. Here we are in the goddamn March and it's he sucks. He's the worst goaltender ever. He's on sucker. How quickly the tides turn around here.
And I don't think fans really understand like the whole idea of like having these players needing to develop and like how the NHL works. It's still a business. There's still so many things typical fans don't know. And like your normal fan that just watches every game and doesn't stay up to date with everything. Like there's just so many layers. Like I just keep saying that, but like it just makes it's just that's what it is, like at the end of the day. Like Sam Ersin is a rookie goaltender. He probably shouldn't be playing as many games as he is, but given the circumstances, he is. And like,
There's a reason why he looked great when he was playing once every 2 weeks.
yeah.
Because he's got the
And I
talent.
mean,
He's a talented goaltender. But, handling, there's a big difference from handling, one game every 2 weeks to handling three or four starts a week behind this fucking team nonetheless.
And I mean, for the people that want to throw Kolesov to the Wolves immediately, like there's a reason why goalies take a bit. They need to build confidence. They need to figure the game out. They need
Adjust.
to,
Yeah.
it's just adjusting. Like, I was a goalie before. Like, there's just so many things you need to adjust to and figure out after you change leagues or like get called up somewhere or your pace of play changes. Like, there's just, it's just, I argue with people so often about things like this, and it's just, you can't rush these certain situations. Like, it just can't be pushed on to people. And then the people that undermine our prospects and think they aren't doing anything because they only look at stats. Well, watch a game or two and you'll understand why this goalie only has a 900 save percentage, or this one kid only has 15 points in 40 games. Like, there's so, like, it's just, like, I wish people would take the time to consider stats don't mean everything. Like, if you actually watch a game,
You have to pay attention to the storylines of the season. And Wade Allison was a perfect example of that one this year. He only had, what was it, 27 points or whatever it was on the year. But the reason people, oh, he's only got this many points. I'm like, yeah, but the storyline of the season was he went down to the AHL and ended up in Laperriere's doghouse. He was playing 0 minutes for a vast majority of the first 3 months of the year. It wasn't until January came around and he was let out and it racked up a bunch of points because he was looking like his old self again. You know, oh, he only had this many points in this many games. Well, yeah, fuck. I mean, he did, but that doesn't tell the story of what actually happened. And, you know, there are a lot of people. I'm the AHL guy around here. You're more than the CHL guy, and we both see this stuff of, oh, this prospect didn't do that. I'm like, yeah, but that's not what happened. There's more story to it than that. So yes, that is a frustration that I deal with regularly from this fan base.
And Matrix and all these other extra stats and stuff, and like the, what are they called? The like the stat cards or whatever that are reposted all the time. Like, again, that doesn't tell the whole story either. Like, there's just so many things people rely on compared to actually watching the game, and they think that's what matters. They think underlining stats like X goals against saves Y or whatever, like, there's just so many like overwhelming stats that just kind of shape the game now that aren't always accurate. Like, you can never tell. And I mean, even player cards and all that stuff, like, you can compare these players to this and that, but until they touch NHL ice, you can never fully examine a player. Like, first round picks, or like, even they can be wonky as well. Like, a 23rd overall pick, that's considered late in the first round. Like, outside of the top 10, it's pretty rare for a player to kind of find their way in the NHL. So, I mean, or be reliable and actually like earn their stay and be top of the line. So, and obviously there's picks later that you can find, like a Braden Point, but again, that's pretty rare. So, I mean, there's just so many things until the NHL that are truly unquestioned. And then even in the NHL, they're unquestioned because all these underlining stats and everything, it just, they don't always follow a certain, well, they do follow certain patterns, but not correct ones all the time, I
Yeah.
guess.
Apparently the Habs are up by 2 less than 4 minutes into the game, by the way.
Oh,
Well,
great.
gonna be one of those nights, apparently. Yeah. More hate on Ersson. What a surprise.
Yep, an Ersson rebound. Great. Great rebound control. Well
Huh.
then.
Yeah. But God, Kolosov has great hair.
Long hair.
That's the only thing that really matters.
Yeah.
Fedotov is 6'8" and Kolosov has great hair.
I wonder how that's going to work out too with
His hair?
the Flyers. No, but well, maybe. Maybe he goes bald or something like Panarin. But it, just the way this big culture group and everything else, how that's all going to fold into having two or more Russians in your locker room eventually. Like, how's Mitchkov going to be involved into this, and Fedotov and Kolosov, and how is that all going to work out with all these other English speaking guys. Like, are they actually going to help them out and start learning English, or are they going to kind of, oh, you're Russian, you just play good hockey, we're just going
Maybe
to
that's why they
kind
keep Zamula
of
around to be translator.
keep. I mean,
I think he's the only one right now that. I
yeah,
guess Garionov is
Provorov is,
technically
but
Russian, I would assume, but I don't think he's coming back.
no,
Yeah,
I
but I
don't know.
think he's the only one right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just there's so many things, like, especially in that locker room. I'm interested to see how it kind of transitions into a more diverse locker room rather than just a bunch of American guys. I guess there's a few Swedish and other things, but I don't know. Just the aspect of it being Russian kind
There
of.
really is not a ton of cultural diversity in this lineup, now that you actually mention that.
Yeah. And there never
Lexell.
really has been. I mean, there's been very few Russians in the Flyers lineup
Ginning.
for a very long time.
Zamula. Ersson. Sandstrom. Risto. Other than that, that's a very North American heavy lineup.
Let me find here. I had it on my notes. Like, there's like so few Russian all-time.
Yeah, historically, the Flyers were not a big fan of drafting.
Well, that was also due to Ed Schneider. He wasn't very happy with the Russians. Ivan Provorov, Dmitry Tarasenko. Why do Russian names have to be so weird? Whatever. There's been one, two, three, four. Four. And Bobrovsky.
Apparently, the second
So.
Habs goal was Jesse, oh Jesus, Ylönen, who snapped a 43-game goalless drought.
That sounds about right.
That's almost as long as Elliot Danoya.
Oh boy. Nick Suzuki has his regular scheduled goal.
Think Danoya is on a 34-game goalless drought right now after this weekend.
Yeah, I just looked at his stats. He's got like nothing going right now.
Complete fall from grace. The guy
Yeah.
that set the Lehigh Valley Phantoms rookie goal scoring record last season looked like a legit, middle six center option. Just nothing this year.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully he can turn it around, but his stock is definitely plummeting.
I sure hope they put some time into building the Phantoms this year. Like,
Yeah.
they need some help. I mean, Brooks is gone, Lazinski's gone, Marody's a UFA. I assume they're all gone. These guys don't typically get re-signed. Mete's gone. They better take the opportunity. They really don't have a ton of prospects making the jump either. It's a pretty quiet year for that.
Bryce Brodzinski, he's been in the pipeline for like 5 years almost now, because he was originally a 2019 draft pick, but he got the extra year of college because of the coronavirus, so he got tacked on that 1 year, so he could be a guy coming over to the AHL, and I think that's pretty much where he stays. He's been kind of a consistent, low producing kind of guy. He's more of a two-way player, and he's never really had an explosive season at Minnesota. So, I mean,
Seventh round pick in 2019.
yeah. So, for a seventh round pick, he's
So they bring him in and he's
producing
just a dude,
consistently
which
well.
is
Yeah.
Yeah, I
He'll
don't know.
definitely just be a dude on the Phantoms. Rizzo, he should get a look. I still have yet to talk to him. I'm waiting till the end of his season because he's got a busy schedule right now with playoffs and the NCHA and all that stuff going on, Frozen Four and whatever, how have you. But he's in his third year. I thought he was already graduating. I completely forgot he didn't have a fourth year already. But I'm not sure if I see him coming over to the Flyers Phantoms this season, or if he stays for another year. I would hope he makes the jump given his age. It's kind of a Bryce situation where he's like 22, 23 area. So, I mean, given his age, I would hope he makes the jump to the AHL and adds some depth to the Phantoms there and hopefully gets a strong look. Based on when their season ends, it's like they run till almost almost as long as the Phantoms do. April 13th would be the final game if Denver goes all the way, but if they don't, it could be another Hunter McDonald situation. They sign him to like a 10 game or whatever, 10, I don't know what it is, a PTO, a player tryout contract, and then go from there. But if
Hunter
not,
McDonald didn't even make it through the first period of his AHL debut. Was out there for one shift, and I'm like, oh, that guy's tall. And then after a little while, I'm like, man, I feel like I haven't seen him in a while. And I went on Twitter, and yep, he was indeed removed from the game. And then Bob Rotruck announced during warmups the following night that, yeah, he's out and looks to be out for a while. So probably won't make it back before the end of the season. So,
which is not exactly great. I believe it's apparently his shoulder. And I believe from talking to him like a couple of weeks ago, because he had a staggered start in college and he played like in October 28th, but then didn't play till like December 28th or something, like missed significant time. And it was due to like, he messed up the nerves and like his upper body from a awkward hit.
Jesus.
So I'm kind of concerned that he re-aggravated something there.
You're not a Flyers prospect until you miss a significant amount of time with a bizarre injury. So
yeah, so I mean,
it's his rite of passage.
Yeah, so I mean, hopefully he recovers quickly, but definitely not good for the kid. It's very unfortunate.
Luckily, he didn't sign his ELC yet, and that was just his PTO he wasted. So he didn't actually burn a year off of his contract for 3 minutes of ice time.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, they could add some depth. The Phantoms within the pipeline already, but other than like a few throw-ins, there's not really too much to be excited about, at least not yet.
No, Barkey and Bonk are both signed, but they're not playing in the AHL next year, so
God forbid if people wouldn't shut up about that either. He has to be 20 years old, man.
Yeah.
Like
one more year of juniors, either in the NHL or juniors. And, yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, nobody's under contract. You know, Rizzo comes up and makes it, you know, whatever. But as of this moment, nobody else is under contract that's making the AHL next year. But, yeah, hopefully through some legitimate veteran help, you know, Adam Brooks has actually come along kind of decently here towards the end of the season now that everyone else is gone. But, you know, Rhett Gardner is just worthless. You know, just these random guys. You got to, you know, go out of your way and find two or three players that have a track record of AHL success. Garionov is one of them. I mean, he's had some decent runs in the AHL ever since, you know, his NHL success pre-pandemic. So something like that needs to go. But, yeah, I mean, especially if somebody like Desnoyers is just essentially worthless from now on. You know, Gendron should make it back to the AHL next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
which, you know, I was excited for him in the very amount of time, very short amount of time they did play in the AHL this year. He looked great. He just never got any ice time. So
yeah,
hopefully he can hop into a top six role next year and excel.
Yeah, that's a good note. For like the past like month, well, almost like 4 months, he's kind of been in and out of the lineup. He was apparently he suffered a minor injury a few months back, shortly after I chatted with him. But then he was kind of out for a week or two and then came back. But over the last month, I think he's played like one or two games. I haven't seen him in the lineup for quite a while. He's still with the team. He's been in photos and stuff and from what I've seen. But it's also not a good sign that he might be injured as well. He might have to rehab something in the summer, which is not good.
It's every prospect. Every one of them that gets hurt.
Yeah, pretty much every Flyers prospect has a history of injuries or something crazy. Like, Minchkoff was sick. Like, there's so many weird things.
Fedotov's
going
to lose a toe on the plane over to...
There's just so many weird things that Flyers prospects, like, go through. And it's just, like... So, I don't know. I'll keep an eye on that, try and get updates about him. But hopefully he doesn't have to significantly rehab something over the summer that just stunts his development, and hopefully he can be a good addition to the Phantoms and show what he has. But where it stands, there's not a lot of healthy additions coming to the Phantoms right now.
And, you know, worth pointing out here, Tuomala is Sama Tuomala, rookie forward, kind of falling off a cliff here, ironically enough. Played fucking awesome the first half of the season, made the All-Star game, and then comes back from the All-Star game. He's had 2 goals since January 20th. Which, he's just, he went from being super aggressive, super talented, to just a complete perimeter player, not getting anything done. And, you know, he was on a trio with Lozinski and Lexell earlier in the year. And those three together were kicking ass. And Lozinski missed 2 months. Lexell gets called up, and, you know, he just really hasn't been the same since. And hopefully he can get it together. I assume, again, I think it's just one of those rookie jumps making the transition. He had the success early. Now he's kind of going through the growing pains of trying to establish the full game, especially considering how piss poor the Phantom's offense is, considering all the call-ups and injuries. But yeah, there's a unfortunate turn here after it looked like this guy was going to kind of defy all the odds and look like one of those, you know, legit kind of, I don't say diamond of the rough because he was a second round pick, but, you know, when he went back to Finland, he just did nothing since he was drafted. So
yeah.
He does have 41 points in 61 games right now, which overall is going to look better, you know, at the hole in the stat line than it was what we're actually getting from him at the moment. But hopefully he can turn it around. But, you know, kind of not a smooth development pattern here for Tuomala. Definitely downward spiral.
Yeah, and that's kind of another situation that fans base things off of. They see, like, this one thing where he, like any prospect, for example, they make the All-Star game or they have a really good first half, but then they just don't know about the second half, and they think they're still playing at this crazy pace or they're still playing really well. Because I've seen a lot of people ask, why is Tuomala not up with the Flyers right now? Well, because he is a rookie and he hasn't
done anything in 2 months.
Yeah, he's died off since the All-Stars. So, and people don't keep track of that. They're like, oh, he was an All-Star. He must have been really good. Why isn't he up with the Flyers? Well, because he's a rookie and he hasn't done anything. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious why he's not and why Lixell and everyone else is. So, there's still room for growth and there needs to be growth, and you can't just shove them into the NHL and just for some reason hope it fixes itself, I guess. Like, I don't, it's just,
there needs to be some level of building block in order to get there first. And I think Tuomala could be in time, but you just haven't seen it yet. There hasn't been enough to show from him. And he had a hard start. He looked good. There's definitely something that potentially is there if the AHL team was built like a competitive roster rather than the, you know, skeleton crew they're working with right now. But, it has not been a pleasant few months for Tuomala. Pretty much ever since the All-Star game, ironically enough.
Yeah. That seems kind of like the case for, like, pretty much any Flyers prospect that's, like, drafted in the first 2 rounds. They kind of don't look like they're meant to be first, second round prospects. Like, they're kind of shaky or kind of weird about how they play, and like they don't seem like they were certain to be that low or high of a draft pick. Low, I don't know how that wording would work. Even with like a guy like Oliver Bonk, I see more out of Denver Barkey than I do Oliver Bonk, and a lot of people are going to hate me for that and like just kind of think I'm nuts for that almost, but like, just Bonk needs a lot more to be a first round pick. If he's meant to be a defensive defenseman, then he needs to work on that aspect of his game. He looks amazing on the offensive, in the offensive zone, but when it comes to defensive, he's kind of weird about how he plays the puck and what he does defending.
I'm sure Torts will love that when the time comes.
Like, he's got like a 60 plus minus or something like ridiculous, but that's also because the London Knights are insanely offensive heavy, and his defensive play just isn't anything spectacular for what it's meant to be or what he's supposed to be. And it seems like his offense has kind of just become his focus, and just everything he does just doesn't seem like it could translate or transition well into the NHL. There's just still missing pieces that need to be added to or found, I guess. Like, there's just, I don't know. And I feel like Denver Barkey, even though he's really small, he has that going for him. He knows what he needs to do and knows how to adjust to certain things. He's probably going to add some more power to his shot, similar to Morgan Frost. But I just see more in him. And the people comparing Morgan Frost to Denver Barkey and saying Denver Barkey better not be another Morgan Frost. Morgan Frost was drafted in the first round. Denver Barkey's a third round pick. Those aren't similar conversations. A third round pick doesn't usually put up 100 plus points in the OHL. A first round pick should. Yeah. Morgan Frost should be producing at that level. And obviously, again, you don't know what a player's like until they reach the NHL, but just that argument makes no sense to me because they're two completely different players. Yeah, they got similarities, but they were drafted two rounds apart. And Denver Barkey had a significant jump from what he did last year. And I mean, so did Oliver Bock, but more offensively than defensively.
If Barkey becomes a 50-point NHLer, that's a good thing. Morgan Frost being a 50-point NHLer is disappointing!
Yeah, that's not what he was meant to be. That's not what he was drafted for. He was meant to be your 1-2C future guy, but he's been, and I've seen so many people arguing that they think they've found their future second pairing or whatever with like Tippett, Frost, and I don't know who would be the, like Brink or something. I don't know. Like who's,
Fairly.
I don't know. Yeah, but people
Forster.
Just, I don't know. A lot of people are like, yeah, we've found our second C. We don't need to look anymore.
Yeah. If I never heard the name Morgan Frost again, it'd be too soon.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Like, it's just...
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what they end up doing this summer when it comes to fixing their center depth, if they so choose to do any of that. But, yeah, I think we got through everything today. You got anything else you want to get off your chest before we end this one?
I don't think so. I think we covered it pretty well today with all the news.
All right. So on that note, everyone, we'll call it a day. Be back with Freakin' Flyer on Sunday. And then somebody will be here next week, I'm sure. We'll figure that out. Plenty of shit on the website, burlypuck.com, at Dan the Flyer Van, burlypuck, @burly_pod, Dan the Flyer Van _jerseys over on Instagram, at tip2tippod as well, for the new version of Flyerside Chat, which will be up soon. Shane will be returning one of these days. And, Dylan, where can people find you on Twitter?
Dylan Robard _, pretty simple, as always.
All right, everyone, until next time, goodbye and good night.